Good morning, church family. My name is Anna Laura Hebert.
I'm Damaris Ayala.
And I'm Dora Schultz. And today we'll be doing scripture reading from 2 Timothy 4, verses 9 to 22 in the English Standard Version. Do your best to come to me soon, for Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry. Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, also the books, and above all the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds.
Beware of him yourself, for he strongly opposed our message. At my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May not be charged against them, but the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Greet Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus remained at Corinth, and I left Trophimus, who was ill, at Miletus. Do your best to come before winter. Eubulus sends greetings to you, as do Prudence and Linus and Claudia and all the brothers. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you.
Well, thank you to everybody who's been participating thus far. And if you listen carefully to my message this morning, you're going to notice that from the songs to the kids' story and, of course, the scripture reading, they're all tied in with each other, even though we didn't really plan it that way. So it's really, really good. Good to be back here again. Last week I was in one of our sister churches in Winnipeg at the Eastview Community Church, sharing God's word there. And I'm glad that I can be back here on the home front again today. Families, don't forget, if you have kids in public school, to get those forms in by Wednesday this week. You either print them out at home and drop them off here, or you can send them the fillable PDFs to the church office, and then they'll be gathered and sent to the Hanover School Division. That's both for religious exercises as well as for the discovery time that takes place in the public schools. They need that petition every year from the families interested. And you have to fill those forms out for every school that you have children at. So make sure that you read the emails that have been sent out to you carefully. If you take your bulletins, and for those of you who are watching online, welcome to you. It's good to have you with us. We'll show that to you as well. On the back of your bulletins, we have our SMBC mission statement, and it reads, "We are disciples of Jesus Christ, being transformed by the Holy Spirit to communicate and demonstrate God's love to all." You see Father, Son, Holy Spirit in there. Christians are primarily followers of Jesus, and as they follow him, the Holy Spirit is transforming them in their character and in their walk with Christ so that we will be effective witnesses to Christ's love in this world. And that happens in word as we proclaim the gospel and in deed as well. So the title of my sermon this morning is Workers of Christ Arise. Would have loved to show you a picture going back well over 100 years to the socialist revolution where these words were often used. I won't do that today. I've got better things to do with my time. And so I will start with a quotation from the Apostle Paul. When he came to Christ at his conversion in Acts chapter 9, verse 15, he was told by Ananias, or Ananias was told by God about him, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." The passage of scripture that was just read to you from 2 Timothy chapter 4 is a very unique one. You might say, "Pastor Walter, do you have to preach on a text like that? 17 names, boring, isn't it?" Well, pause and think briefly. 17 names mentioned at the end of his last letter that we are in possession of. And in all likelihood, just months after writing this letter and these final words in that letter, Paul would die the martyr's death in Rome, 67 AD, approximately. So put what you're reading, what you just heard, into that context. This is his final letter that we are in possession of, and the final words of that letter, and he names 17 people, and their situations are vastly different from each other. This morning, I'm just going to ask you a bunch of questions about those statements made in this text, and then I'm going to introduce you to two people, two more recent workers that have come onto the financial support in our budget as a church. And I'd like to introduce them to you so you get to know them a little bit. So, here are some questions. You might miss some of the profound insights if you think that all that's in this passage is a list of names, because behind each name is a story. Sometimes a success story of growth and maturity in Christ, working for Christ, people on mission. And there's sometimes also stories of failure, such as desertion instead of staying on mission. So here's some questions. Do you sense how Paul lives and breathes one thing alone, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that it would be brought to all people, regardless of the cost to himself, Paul the apostle, or to the church as it engages in the mission that it has been called to engage in? Do you sense how content and composed Paul is? In spite of being alone, he says he's now alone. Only Luke, who wrote the Gospel of Luke and the Acts, that's a double work that he wrote. He accompanied Paul on many of his trips. Only Luke is with him. And Paul was used to having other workers around him. But at this point in time in Rome, he seems to be pretty alone. And even deserted by some of his co-workers. Do you sense how much he still needs people, even those that he himself at one time thought less than useful for the work of mission that he was engaging in? He says, send Mark to me. Do you remember the story of Mark? Chapter 12 in the book of Acts. He goes with Barnabas and Paul on the first missionary journey, but deserts Paul somewhere along the line, probably because of the increasing pressure and persecution. Paul gets beat up constantly by people, and sometimes he's left for dead. Maybe he was fearful of that. But then in chapter 15, we're told after that famous Jerusalem council meeting, Paul and Barnabas want to go on a second missionary journey together, and Barnabas says, hey, let's take my cousin Mark along with us again this time. Paul says, nyet, that we're not going to do because he has deserted us previously. I do not have space for people who are not reliable. So Barnabas and Paul have a bit of a tete-a-tete. They separate, go separate ways. Now they have two mission teams. Under God's guidance, Barnabas goes one direction, Paul takes others. But now at the end, Paul says, bring Mark along. He's useful for me. I need him. So Paul has grown, Mark has grown. Kind of a neat story there. Do you sense how Paul does not quit the mission when the going gets rough? He tells Timothy, when you come, bring the parchments and my cloak along. In other words, there's still work to be done, even if It's only reading and writing. Basically, most of the last 10 years of Paul's life were spent either in prison or under a house arrest. Do you sense how excruciatingly difficult the life of a missionary or apostle can be? Some, he says, deserted him at his trial, probably scared spitless of the consequences for themselves, maybe like Mark earlier on. Others have just plain, he says, gone back into the world. Damas. That's tough. But somehow Paul, in this writing, in this section of Scripture, his final letter and the final words of it, seems to be okay with that, with his lot. Not angry. Do you sense that it is worth it all? Paul's life will be ended shortly after the writing of this letter. Do you sense in your heart how many people are needed to get the gospel out, men and women alike? And that others, some of them named here, have followed Paul's life, sacrificial style of living. Some have even gotten sick in the process. Do you see and grasp how God is at work in every single unique circumstance of life? And in all the screwed up people messes as well. So the question to us this morning, with a text like this one, will you choose contentment and composure by the power of the Holy Spirit as well? Not giving up on people, Paul says, of those who deserted him, may it not be held against them. Remind you of somebody else who said that? You know who it was. Not quitting the mission or the task assigned. And our main mission in life is not to progress in the good life as God blesses us with it, but to use the good things of the good life he has blessed us with to progress the gospel forwards to those who have never heard. Not complaining about your lot to God, just plodding along steadily for God's glory and for the long-term benefit of the church and the kingdom. All the while, keeping your eyes trained, focused on Jesus and not on circumstance. That's a very brief summary of the call of this text. I hope that you'll reread it sometime. It's actually an amazing text. 70 names, but behind each one there's a little story, and you can compare the book of Acts on some of them and find out a lot more. But the bottom line there is, Paul refuses to submit or give up in the face of circumstance because he's looking to the Lord of circumstance, every single circumstance. And that's the invitation to you and me this morning. So having said that, summarized that briefly, I'd like to invite Val Schinkel to come up and join me on stage. I'll go ahead and stand over here. We'll keep our distance a little bit, which isn't the hospitable thing to do, but it's currently the right thing to do. Val, it's good to have you here. Val is one of two missionaries that we added to our SMBC budget this year, and her missionary service is actually very unique. You will see her Sunday for Sunday attending our church here. And you can meet her at other times as well here in the city. And yet she is working for a mission, and we'll get to that shortly. So Val, you and Andy have been part of our church for about 3 years now. You recently also became members. So it's really good to have you in our church. And good to have you also in our small group as well. So tell us a little bit about yourself, your family, where you grew up, and what you have previously done work-wise.
I grew up in Blumenort. Some of you are going to recognize me from there. I was the youngest of seven children, and my dad was my spiritual leader until he died in 2000, but I would go to him. And I married Andy in 95, and we have three children, two sons and a daughter, and a son-in-law.
Mm-hmm. And you began working for a Christian mission called Frontiers a few years ago. Can you tell us, firstly, how you even heard about Frontiers and then began working for them?
We knew two couples, two families that were part of Frontiers, and we actually supported one of them, not through Frontiers, but through the EMC conference. And now both of them are home staff, but that's how I originally got to know Frontiers. And a very interesting story is, back when I was working for Safeway and Safeway decided to close, I wasn't sure what I was going to do, as that was going to be my, you know, retirement job. But then I prayed that God would give me a job that he knew I would be really good at, and not one that I would be good at, or that I thought I'd be good at. So one Sunday, we had missions week, and the executive director from Frontiers spoke in our church. I was busy in the kitchen because we had a potluck, and so that was my job. But as soon as the service was done and he had mentioned that there was a part-time bookkeeper position open, I had three people run to me right after church and was like, this is your job. I was upgrading my bookkeeping as I was currently unemployed. And so I talked to him after church, and 2 months later, I was working for Frontiers.
Great. And you work here out of your home in Steinbeck. Two questions related to that. Can you just, first of all, tell us a little bit about Frontiers? What kind of a mission is that? Where do they work? What do they do?
Our mission statement, Frontiers serves in every region of the Muslim world with teams ministering in more than 50 countries. We're focused on equipping and sending passionate men and women to share Jesus and make disciples in places where the least access to the gospel. We have 10 families currently that are Canadian families that are on the field, two families that are waiting to get back into their country of missions because of COVID, one family leaving at the end of the month, and they actually teamed up with Multiply. So I will be in contact with Multiply on a monthly basis.
Yeah, Multiply is the mission arm of the ME churches, for those who don't know. And what is your role within the mission? You work out of your home doing what?
So I'm a finance director, and I pretty much do everything in the finances. Because we are a smaller organization, I do accounts payable, accounts receivable, payroll. I'm majority the first contact to donors, depending on who they contact, but usually it's me. I also answer the phone because most of the calls are finance related. I field donor questions, and I love working from home. I really do. It's the same as working in any other office. For me, the only thing is we do a lot of Zoom meetings, so when COVID hit, I was already used to that. And the only thing is we just don't meet like you would at a regular job. You would have staff meetings. We don't see people face to face.
And working for a mission, like Frontiers mission in this case, you are also responsible to raise your own support, or at least a part of that. How has that gone for you so far?
It is challenging when you're raising support from you're working from a home base. However, there are people that have agreed with what I'm doing, and it's been really great. It's been great to get to know new people, And if any of you want to become my prayer partner or financial support, I would love to get to know you, and I would love to be a part with you.
Yeah, so you can come up to Val after the service, or if you want to sign up for her newsletter, it'll be out in the foyer as well. So feel free to do that. Thank you very much, Val.
Thank you.
For joining me on stage. And the second person that we'll interview, I had to pre-record that because Jennifer Entz, who grew up in this church, is in Saskatchewan, and for her to come here, she would have loved to do that, but then she'd have to self-isolate 14 days for one interview. So we pre-recorded the interview with her this week. Have a listen to her.
Good morning, Jennifer. Very good to see you. You grew up here in Steinbach and at SMBC, and you're a graduate of Nipawin Bible College in Saskatchewan. Were Dean of Women there for 5 years as well, and recently you made the move to the Torch Trail Bible Camp. What led you to make the move from a Bible college to a Bible camp at this time in your life?
That's a great question. Jesus Christ has changed my life, and I want to make him known. And so in that sense, at the college, I had the privilege of walking beside the young women and point them to Christ. But camp has always, not always, but since I was 15, has been a huge part of my life. And in that sense, God grew in me just more and more to make him known in a different way. And camp is one of those ways that I have seen just a neat opportunity to present the gospel to kids and youth and to some who have never heard of Christ, but also some who have and are believers. And so you get to walk alongside them, and there's that discipleship aspect as well. But it's just such a neat opportunity to connect with the parents and with the communities in the area too. So in that sense, the last 2 years have been that process of figuring out how that looks like. And God led me to Torch Trail here in Saskatchewan.
Well, excellent. We're really happy for you. What's your role at the Bible camp?
I'm the ministry director, so it's a little bit of everything, but I work alongside Devin and Jessica. They're the directors of the camp, but my role would be I'm taking more of the administrative aspect of it, as well as the follow-up with the staff, as well as campers, as I'm able to, and recruiting staff for the summers, as well as connecting with different churches. And I mean, whatever needs to get done at camp, but right now we're in the thick of just planning for the summer. So that's kind of my role.
Okay. And how are things shaping up for the summer? This is COVID time, and many camps are trying to figure out how to do camp in times like this. How's the pandemic shaping how you at your camp prepare for this year?
Yeah, it's sad we're unable to have overnight camps this year as much as we know as of right now, right? So we've been trying to plan different ways of getting people to the camp and connecting with people. So we're able to do two canoe trips up north this this summer, so with the youth. So we're able to do that. I get to go and come. But we're also partnering with Tisdale Day Camps, which is, so they're bringing kids to the camp for days throughout the week. And then we're having our pool open, so we're doing like public swims and swimming lessons. And then we're also having like a few churches out for the day, just to as we are able to, right? So
okay, so you're trying to be as creative as possible to adapt not being able to have kids overnight. And of course, you told me yesterday that you also have about 20 horses. That probably is quite an attraction for kids to come as well. Your camp is linked to One Hope Canada, formerly Canadian Sunday School Mission. So that means you raise your own support, at least in part. How has your support levels gone so far?
It's been, a really amazing way to see how God has been providing for me. It's been going really well. It's a very humbling and amazing to see, how to be on the receiving end of things. And I think God has been, teaching me to trust him in that. But yeah, he has also provided a lot of my needs in that way.
Okay. Well, we are very delighted as a church to be able to support you. We've started supporting you this year in your work at Torch Trail Bible Camp. We wish you all the best for that. And if somebody would like to support you in addition to what our church is doing, how might they do that?
So it would have to go through One Hope Canada. And so it's all the contact info is on their website. So it would either be through calling them or sending, it would be their mailing address. And but it's all on their website through One Hope Canada.
Okay. And on Sunday, we'll maybe put out a list as well if somebody wants to receive your newsletter, which comes out maybe 2-3 times a year, then they could sign up for that as well, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, Jennifer, it's been good to talk to you. We wish you all the best as you prepare for this next season of camp ministry, which will be very different. May God be with you. And it was nice to talk with you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Okay, take care then. People like that are very deserving of your prayers and your financial support. So if you're able to join in their teams, either Val's or Jennifer's, please do so. Our church is supporting them as of this year. And so I want to conclude this message this morning that had the title, Workers of Christ Arise, with the very final words of the Apostle Paul in verse 22 of chapter 4. There he says, "The Lord be with your spirit." Your is singular, so he's addressing Timothy first. May God give you what you need deep down inside. But then he expands it and probably expects Timothy to share this letter with the church, because he says, grace be with you in plural. Grace be with y'all, as they would say in southern United States. Not only those Christians in Ephesus, together with Timothy, but we too constantly need increased stamina and holiness to fulfill God's call in our lives. The stamina, that's resilience in light of the mission that has been assigned to us, and the holiness with respect to the purity of character and life that is needed to make that witness truly powerful to God's glory. And for all of that, we as God's people continually need God's grace. So I'm going to pray, and then just a prayer for Val and Jennifer, and then I'll invite Chris to come up and conclude with a benediction. And I'd like to ask you to stand up as we do so. Father in heaven, what a joy to look into your word and to see you at work in the midst of challenging circumstances and some pretty difficult people problems at times that can be very discouraging. Father, you worked through the life of the Apostle Paul. You gave him a vision that he could live above circumstance rather than be completely subjected to the circumstances of his life and be completely put down by them. And that's what we pray for all of us, and especially for these two new missionaries that we've taken on as support this year as a church, for Val Schinkel and for Jennifer Entz. Would you bless them, be with them, encourage them, give them that resilience and that holiness that they need to grow and be effective in the mission assigned to them. And may we grow in our resilience and our holiness as we fulfill our mission as a church and as individuals here in this community and the surrounding area. Watch over us, we pray, in your wonderful name, Lord Jesus.
For the benediction today, I've chosen Colossians 3, verses 16 and 17. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen.